Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I want to speak a little bit more about what's in your bones. We started off last week in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13. If you want to just go back there quickly tonight, 2 Kings chapter 13. Great, great story about the power of God. You know, we can't underestimate, we can't even get a glimpse, I don't think, about the authority that's in the power of God and His Word. He speaks light and light comes. He speaks life and life comes. He speaks miracle and the miracle happens. Amen. He's a great, great God. We know in this book of 2 Kings chapter 13, it begins in verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick. Amplified says he had previously become ill of the illness of which he died. Oh, I'm amplified at the moment. Thanks, Jason. Good question. Pick up in verse 20 of 2 Kings chapter 13. It says, Elisha died and they buried him. Bands of the Moabites invaded the land in the spring of the next year. Verse 21, as the man was being buried on an open bier, such a band was seen coming and the man was cast into Elisha's grave. And when the man, being let down, touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. It would make for a great movie, wouldn't it? It'd be a lot better than these zombie movies that are being portrayed and highlighted and made again and again and again. You know, this man just didn't come as a walking, living corpse. He became alive. There was something shut up in Elisha's bones. There was something that was stored in the bones of Elisha. I want you to see tonight that there's something in your bones that God is storing up, that He has perhaps already stored up. There are things in your life that are stored up that He wants to cleanse you of, and there are things in your life that He's stored up and He wants you to put them to use tonight. I remember, as I said last week, Pastor Phil Pringle many years ago preaching, the receipt is in your bones. When I go to a shop and I buy something, I hand over my cash, they give me the goods and the receipt. The receipt says what? I have paid for those goods. What do I do with that receipt? More often than not, boing into the rubbish bin. But if it's a more valuable item, I hang on to that receipt of proof of what I paid for it, where I bought it. And if there's a warranty or a guarantee on it, proof that I can go back within a certain time and have that good either replaced or repaired or refunded or whatever it is. And ask the question tonight, what price are you prepared to pay for your breakthrough? What price are you prepared to pay? You see, Jesus already paid the full price for your breakthrough. But in order to receive your breakthrough, there's got to be something that is released in your life that's either holding you back or released in your life to take you forward into your destiny. One of the great stories out of the Gospels, and it's recorded in Matthew, Mark and Luke, is the story of a rich young ruler. Ever heard the story? I'm sure you have many, many times. Interesting that both Matthew, or all three, Matthew, Mark and Luke, would record it. The Bible says he was a rich, young ruler. He was what, Jason? Rich. Rich means he could buy anything that he desired. Wouldn't you like to be in that position today? It might spoil you, I know. The Bible says he was young. So he had a future. All those under the age of 80, please raise your hand. You've got a future. Those two behind you didn't raise their hand. They don't know how old they are.
Bible also says that he was a ruler, so he had influence. Rich, young, ruler. The only thing he did lack was this thing we refer to as salvation. He comes to Jesus. He says to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, take a step back. He was rich, he was young, and he was ruler. Really, in the worldly system, he was lacking nothing. But somewhere inside of him, he realized there was lack. There was something that he was missing, something he desired. And he goes to Jesus and he said, "What must I do?" He didn't say to Jesus, "I'm here. How much will it cost me?" He doesn't say to Jesus, "Here I am. I'm young enough. How long have I got to wait?" He didn't say, "Jesus, you know who I am. I'm a man of influence. Now you give to me what I want." He opens up the question by saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" What a great question. I wish more people would come and ask me those sort of questions. Pastor Lou, I've been waiting all day to get you on the phone. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Pastor Lou, what must I do? You see, we're living in a world that people aren't interested in that. They're interested in their riches. They're interested in what they can do for themselves and in their own time for their future. And they're interested in becoming such a great status symbol in the world that they become the people of influence they want to be or aspire to be or expect to be without having to do anything. Jesus replied, "Sell everything you have and give your money to the poor. Then follow me." Give up what you consider worthy of you keeping in this worldly system. Give it to those who need what you've got and you don't really need, and just follow me. How many know that the rich young ruler didn't like the answer? The Bible says he was so upset because he couldn't do it, he left. I wonder how many years you and I held back on accepting the price that we must pay to inherit eternal life. I wonder how much we had stored up in our bones, in our system, in our belief, in our faith, in so many other things, that we just resisted the call of God on our lives because we had so many other things to do. We had so many other things to use our money for. We had so many aspirations for what we were going for, that we just rejected God. I believe the Lord's got stuff stored up in all of us. I believe over the next few weeks and months, and maybe even years, God's going to reveal to every one of us here tonight what you have stored up in your bones is a kingdom-building resource. But I also want us to realize that if there's stuff in there that doesn't belong to the Lord, that he never intended for you to store up, that he's able to release you of that tonight. Let's have a look at Scripture to see what God says about your bones. The more I dig, the more I discover. The more I inquire, the more he gives to me. So if you're taking notes tonight, I'm going to go through these Scriptures fairly rapidly. Take them down. Psalm 38 verse 3 says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." You ever been bone weary? That it goes beyond muscle weariness. It's actually an ache in your bones. As I'm reading these scriptures the other night, it talks about there is no rest in my bones because of my sin. Somewhere in our system, God's got a plan that our bones are great storehouses that can either set us free or hold us back. Proverbs 3 and verse 8. Come there with me, because I can script you out all night long, and I don't intend to, but I would love for you to grasp an idea of how important what you've got stored up in your bones can make a difference to someone else's living. Listen to what the writer says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. Your Bible may say it shall be health to your body and marrow to your bones. But skip up a verse. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverentially fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. Then it says, it shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow, and moistening to your bones. So what happens is, if you're wise in your own eyes, if you're a bit like the rich young ruler, all caught up in self, you won't have a reverential fear of the Lord. I believe this is a stumbling block for most church people. We get caught up with the thinking and the culture of the world that's around us. We lose this reverential fear of the Lord, and we wonder why things are not working out well. Be not wise in your own eyes. Semicolon. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from sin. I would say repent. What turn entirely away from sin means? And it, by turning away from evil and worshipping the Lord and not being wise in your own eyes, brings health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. How many know that you need nerve and sinews? How many know you need marrow and moistening in your bones? I love the King James that talks about your navel. It shall be health to your navel, it says. The word navel there in the Hebrew actually means your body. So reverently fearing the Lord, turning away from evil, and learning to worship the Lord, look at the combination of those things, will bring health into your body. An easy answer, isn't it, to a lot of problems. Let's look further. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. We talked last week about what would your body be like without bones in it. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart, naturally and spiritually, is health to your body. It's life to your body, the Bible says. But envy brings rottenness to your bones. Proverbs 15 and verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. It's an encouragement for someone tonight. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. What are pleasant words? Yang, 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 yang. How often do you hear those unpleasant words in your environments? We are meant to be bringers of pleasant words. Now, this doesn't mention anything about chocolate-covered honeycomb, so don't get too excited. Pleasant worms are like true honeycomb, straight out of the beehive, dripping with goodness and honey and sweetness. It brings sweetness to your soul, just like honey brings sweetness to your mouth, and health to the bones. Proverbs 17 and verse 22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, what does it do? Dries your bones. Your bones are meant to be full of moisture, full of life. We're not in Ezekiel 37, a valley of dry bones. Your bones are not dry in you tonight. Your bones are full of moisture, full of goodness, stored up to produce blood and all sorts of things. So if you've got a merry heart, does you good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries up your bones. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. Isaiah 58 and verse 11 says, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. You see, these are God's promises over you and your bones. God's got a plan for your bones. You didn't realize that, did you? While you're in Isaiah, Isaiah 66 and verse 14, and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. That's vivid imagery, isn't it? Isaiah 66 and verse 14, and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies. You see us flourishing when the enemy fades away? Don't you want your bones to flourish? And we then come to Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Remember the story of Jeremiah? He was a pretty strong prophet. He used to speak the truth from the Lord, and he was hated for it. It got him into a lot of trouble. At one stage, he's in stocks. People laughing at him. People throwing stuff at him. People are mocking him. And he gets released from the stocks. And the king says, look, Jeremiah, just hold that God stuff. Pull back a little bit, buddy. Just give us a watered down version. Don't keep telling us what God's going to do. Well, how many know that a prophet of the Lord can't hold back? If he's told by God what to do, what does he have to do? Do it. Just do it. Just the Nike terminology. Amen. And so this scripture says, Jeremiah talking to himself, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. Then he must have given himself a quick slap around the head and go, come on, Jerry, you know you can't do it, because it goes on, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Is the word of God like that for you? Is your passion for God like that for you? Is your desire to serve him like that for you? Like a fire burning shut up in your bones? Then he gets really honest and he says, I was weary of holding back. And I could not. He's a man after my own heart. The fire of God, the word of God, in his heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. When I look back to the life of Elisha, I see the same thing. When he comes under that anointing of Elijah, Elijah promises him a double anointing of what's in his life. Did he not? A double portion of what Elijah had. Guess what? He dies one short of the miracle of doubling the amount of miracles. He dies one short. He doesn't achieve the double. This close. God said, I'm still God. There's this innocent man. The Bible says he's up on a funeral byre or a burial byre. They used to put him out in what they called a common grave area. And for 3 days they would sit there, they would lay there. Some people sit up their dead bodies, not in that culture. Lay him out, honour and respect. When you pass by, reverential respect for that person that's died. And then they'd take them away and they'd bury them proper. Do the right thing. But they used to put them on public display, if you like. Can you picture it? Whew. But the Moabites come in. It's an interesting story. Because it was supposed to be the Syrians that were attacking the Israelites. But the Moabites used to send in these sneaky little raiding parties. Sneaky, quiet, come in. No big fuss, we're here. Grab stuff. Go. They used to rob the bodies. They used to go into people's houses and rob stuff. They used to take children away as captives for slavery. All this sort of thing. But they'd do it in secret. You're looking to the enemy that way, and the Moabites would come in this way. So in fear, the Israelites grab their buddy off the byre, and they race him off, and they go, what are we going to do with him? He's dead. We've got to honour him. Oh, here's a grave. And they go, boom. Ambipod said they lowered the body. I couldn't imagine men running away from raiding parties gently. Look, Dennis, have you got that nice rope that I saw in your shed the other day? Could we just borrow that for a while? And look, Jeff, you've got a stretcher. Can we put him on the stretcher and put Dennis's ropes on? And we just want to ceremoniously lower him down. And we'll call Pastor Lou in and he can bless him and perhaps, yeah, we'll be all right. No, I really believe that they just grabbed this mate of theirs and they just, as they were going past, they literally just lowered him gently. But then a miracle happens. You see, what was stored up in Elisha's bones, it's very specific. He died, he'd been buried, the body hit his bones. Didn't say it hit his outer garments. Didn't say he had the priestly mantle on him. It didn't say he had the prophetic cross on his chest. The body hits his bones, and what was stored up in Elisha's bones was that double anointing that Elijah had prophesied, and it completes the double amount of miracles that Elijah spoke over Elisha's life. Is God finished with you? Is there something shut in your bones that you've been perhaps waiting for an opportunity to let go? Is there something in your body, shut up in your bones, that you're busting to be able to allow God to use you in that? Tonight I just want to talk just for a couple more minutes, if I may. About posing. About posing. When I was at school, we had posers. You know, the elite footballers, the elite soccer players. Who would want to play soccer? That's what we used to say. The elite athletes on the athlete field, those who were academically good, were posers. But you know, sometimes posing is not as easy as it looks. So I want to talk a little bit about posing. For example, in bodybuilding, posing on stage is far more difficult compared to the intense training in the gym. Posing squeezes out more sweat compared to full blast weightlifting. Posing. Posing is the only way to show the judges how far you have achieved during your workout. Posing takes time and a lot of practice to master. And in bodybuilding, it's about showing your muscle definition. No judge, no table of judges wants to come to a weightlifting gym and watch some dude press weights. What they want to do is turn up in their finery on the day and have a series of guys go up there and, you know, do all their stuff. But let me introduce this to you today. During your preparation, it needs someone to correct the pose. A perfect pose will attract the audience. A perfect pose will attract the judge, but a perfect pose needs proper training and it needs proper preparation. So let me talk about posing tonight. P is for prayer. O is for overcoming. S is being steadfast. And E is for exercise. You see, the more you and I are exposed to the Word of God, as written in the Bible, the clearer our target and our purpose for life is. And the clearer the goal, the clearer our determination, our focused target, builds to. And that leads to a perseverance which produces passion. The more we are exposed, prayer, overcoming, steadfastness, and exercise of the word, the clearer our target, our goal is. The clearer the goal will create a determination. The clearer the determination brings a perseverance and produces a passion. And a clear goal directs a decision and it has a destination. So what's shut up on your bones? What is it that's either holding you back from your call to God or wants to be releasing you into the things God's called you to do? I want to just deal with prayer tonight, if I may. What's shut up in your bones, prayer-wise? The Bible says that we are to prevail in prayer. What happens when we prevail in prayer? Number one, Satan is defeated. Number two, miracles happen. Number three, people turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. Literally, their spiritual eyes are open. Do you know you can know the plan of God through prayer? You actually know that and believe that and practice that. But you can know the plan of God through prayer. God's word is his blueprint of his plan. And when we pray, the Bible says we are commanded to pray how often? Without ceasing, which means always. So why don't we make that as one of our goals? If we want to see what's shut up in our bones, release. You have a passion for prayer. What is a passion? What is a passion for prayer? Well, passion, by definition, is a powerful emotion such as love, joy, peace. It can also be hatred. You have a passionate hatred or a passionate anger for something. Have you got a passion to pray? Are you persistent in your prayer? Have you got perseverance? Have you got endurance? Are you a quitter? Oh, that didn't work. I prayed for an hour once. I've never even heard me. Have you got patience to pray? Reading a book the other day and it talked about life without an obstacle is boring. How true that is in our prayer life. God answered every prayer immediately that we prayed it, answered before the amen was out. How much more would we pray? We wouldn't need to. Lord, I want, give. Lord, I want, give. Lord, I want, give. But when we pray with patience, instead of looking for the shortcut way, which I believe leads to destruction, why don't we pray with patience? Eagerness is good, but it's not the same as patience. Eagerness makes you think positive in reaching goal, but patience means you stay on track. How many know that patient prayer is sometimes painful? How many know that sometimes it takes proper training and proper preparation? How many know that when you're in training mode, sometimes it can be a painful mode? God wants us to pray. I believe with all my heart that Elisha was a prayer. Don't hear much about his prayer life, but how else do you get the word from the Lord? Text message on his phone, Facebook post from God, email on his laptop. No, didn't have any of that technology. Had a relationship with God that said to him, I can speak to you, God, but in my speaking, I want to hear. Prayer life. Jeremiah, likewise, he said, you know, the word of God, like fire, shut up in my bones. How did he know about that? Because he had a relationship through prayer with his Heavenly Father. He didn't have Jesus in his life, didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as we understand, but he had a presence about him that took him into that throne room of grace and taught him. Friends, there's so much in our lives that can stop us from entering into what God's called us to be in. Fear of things, doubt over things, you know, disrespect of someone can be shut up in your bones. Offense can be shut up in your bones. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, not next Sunday because it's the first Sunday of the month, but the Sunday after. I really believe we need to understand what can be shut up in our bones that holds us back, and what can be shut up in our bones for the doing of good for others. Amen? But just think about it. This coming fortnight, as you're in your prayer life, am I in training, Lord? Am I passionate enough? Am I patient enough? Am I getting into your word to establish and prepare my prayer life? Am I just praying prayers that are about me? Or am I thanking the Lord for what he's done for me, but praying for others? What shut up in your bones will determine how and what you pray. Amen? Amen. I want to pray a blessing over you for this week.